"He's gone away," said Doc Parrott. "Split, departed." Lieutenant Corson did not seem to hear. He was too old to be a lieutenant. The veins in his nose and cheeks were broken, his back was weak. Once he had been a captain on the way to becoming a major, but whiskey and the 14 dull years between Korea and Vietnam had ended all that, and now he was just an old lieutenant with the dysentery. He lay on his back in the pagoda, naked except for green socks and green undershorts. "Cacciato," Doc repeated. "The kids left us, split, for parts unknown." The lieutenant did not sit up. With one hand, he cupped his belly. With the other, he guarded a red glow. The surfaces of his eyes were moist. "Gone to Paris," Doc said. The lieutenant put the glow to his lips. Inhaling, his chest did not move. There were no vital signs in the wrists or thick stomach. "Paris," Doc Parrott repeated. "That's what he tells Paul Berlin, and that's what Berlin tells me, and that's what I'm telling you. The chain of command, a truly splendid instrument. Anyhow, the guy's definitely gone, packed up and retired." The lieutenant exhaled. Blue gunpowder haze produced musical sighs in the gloom, a stirring at the base of Buddha's clay feet. "Lovely," a voice said. Someone else sighed. The lieutenant blinked, coughed, and handed the spent roach to Oscar Johnson, who extinguished it against his toenail.
"Perry," the lieutenant said softly. "Gay Perry?"
Doc nodded.
"That's what he told Paul Berlin, and that's what I'm telling you. Oughta cover up, sir."
Sighing, swallowing hard, Lieutenant Corson pushed himself up and sat stiffly before a can of Sterno. He lit the Sterno and placed his hands behind the flame and bent forward to draw in heat. Outside, the rain was steady.
"So," the old man said, "let's figure this out."
He gazed at the flame.
"Trick is to think things clear, step by step. You said Perry."
"Affirm, sir. That's what he told Paul Berlin, and that's..."
"Berlin?"
"Right here, sir. This one."
The lieutenant looked up. His eyes were bright blue and wet. Paul Berlin pretended to smile.
"Jeez."
"Sir?"
"Jeez," the old man said, shaking his head.
"I thought you were Vaught."
"No."
"I thought he was you. How do you like that? Mixed up, I guess. How do you like that?"
"Fine, sir."
The lieutenant shook his head sadly. He held a boot to dry over the burning Sterno. Behind him in shadows was the cross-legged Buddha, smiling from its elevated stone perch. The pagoda was cold. Dank from a month of rain, the place smelled of clays and silicates and dope and old incense. It was a single square room built like a pillbox, with stone walls and a flat ceiling that forced the men to stoop or kneel. Once it might have been a fine house of worship, neatly tiled and painted, but now it was junk. Sandbags blocked the windows, bits of broken pottery lay under chipped pedestals. The Buddha's right arm was missing, but the smile was intact. Head cocked, the statue seemed interested in the lieutenant's long sigh.
"So, Cacciato, he's gone. Is that it?"
"There it is," Doc said. "You've got it."
Paul Berlin nodded.
"Gone to Gay Perry, am I right? Cacciato's left us in favor of Perry. In France."
The lieutenant seemed to consider this gravely. Then he giggled.
"Still raining?"
"A bitch, sir."
"I never seen rain like this. You ever? I mean, ever?"
"No," Paul Berlin said. "Not since yesterday."
"And I guess you're Cacciato's buddy, is that the story?"
"No, sir," Paul Berlin said. "Sometimes he'd tag along, not really."
"Who's his buddy?"
"Nobody. Maybe Vaught. I guess Vaught was, sometimes."